This podcast is brought to you by Cedar HR Solutions. Support our sponsors, Time Clock It and YourHIPAAtraining.com. Visit them on the web.
Hello, Doctor. This is Paul Edwards. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Cedar HR Solutions. Today's podcast is about leave of absence, the need for people to take off from work for a variety of reasons, and we'll get into that a little further. The reason why I was excited about this this topic was because it's a very common call. It's one that we get all of the time, and a doctor calls in and he's got an employee who's either getting ready to take leave of absence or is already on leave of absence, and for some reason it's not going well. And what I know is that if you have a good leave of absence policy and an understanding of how it's supposed to go, your employee will have that same understanding, and you can hold them to that standard. And again, we're going to get into what some of those standards are. So the typical call comes in, and the doctor's like, this is not going well. This person's already on maternity leave. She's already taken 2 weeks more than I would normally allow. I'm not sure what my policy says about that, or I don't have a policy, and now I need to either let her go. And doctor, you know, listening, that, you know, letting an employee who's on maternity leave go while they're on maternity leave is just a recipe for disaster. You certainly can't fire someone, but you can hold some standards and you can take proactive steps. So I'm joined today by one of our Solution Center team members. Her name is Michelle Oliver. Say hi, Michelle.
Hi, everyone.
So Michelle is a senior professional human resource certified expert. That means that she's got a master's level of experience, understanding, and skills when it comes to HR issues. She's got a wide range of experience. She has worked for a lot of folks and helped them with their HR issues. And now she's on our team. And so if you call in and you have an issue and you need help, Michelle's one of those people who could be taking your call. You'd be lucky if she is one of the ones who's taking your call. So whenever we do these podcasts with my team, whenever I do it with the experts, I always try to get the experts to pick what subject they want to talk about. And Michelle, so why did you pick leave of absence?
Oh, I picked it because every day we get a call into the Solution Center with a doctor who has one of their employees that's about to go out on leave or is out on leave, like you were talking about. And it seems to be a big area of question and concern.
Right, right. So it's very common, and because we work with medical and dental practices and they're run by women, we're going to see maternity leave.
Very often. Yeah. Almost entire offices are staffed, majority with women. And so the doctor calls in and is just not sure how to handle it, and it seems like a big mystery. And so I wanted to help clear up some of the mystery.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about the need for a policy and for, you know, to be clear about what the leave of absence entails. The details of what needs to be covered in that policy, what to do while they are on leave, because there are things that you need to do while they're on leave, and then finally, how to best bring them back into the practice. So where do we start?
Okay. Well, you want to be sure that we're talking about right now for a smaller office. So if you hear about FMLA, uh-huh. That's something that an office with 50 employees or more has to offer. So most of our members don't have to be concerned with FMLA and meeting that.
The Family Medical Leave Act.
Correct.
And Michelle, if someone's listening and they're not our member, they may have a handbook that contains FMLA language in it. Mm-hmm. What would you say to those people?
I would say that you're not required to meet all of those standards. And it's always a good practice to kind of follow along those guidelines, uh-huh. But you're not expected to meet that level.
So best thing is get that policy out of your handbook.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not the policy you want in there, because you're tying yourself to obligations that you don't have.
And you're confusing and muddying the waters for your employees.
Yeah, you could be held to a standard of 12 weeks off and all kinds of things that you don't have to do right now.
That's a high bar.
Okay.
Okay. And so we're talking about offices with less than 50 employees, and we're not talking about a military leave of absence here. We're talking about more run-of-the-mill pregnancy or a medical leave that one of your employees comes and needs. And it's inevitable that everybody's going to have this arise in their office at some point. If you haven't so far, you're really lucky. You're fortunate. But at some point, somebody's going to come in. They're going to be ill, or they're going to have conceived and need to use time for maternity leave. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is you want to be careful and have a policy in place, or at least have some idea of the time frame that you're going to be offering. Keeping in mind, if you've offered time to somebody previously, you've set a precedent.
So you've kind of set a precedent. And you can change the rules, but you don't want to do them while you're in an upset with someone. So your favorite person who's been with you for 8 years needs time off, and you end up giving them 9 weeks of maternity leave. Not only do you realize that 9 weeks is a long time for someone who's important in your small business to be away, so you weren't, you know, you would have rather made it shorter for that person. The next person that comes along, you may not be so fond of, and you might think, well, I'm only going to give you 6 weeks of maternity leave.
Exactly.
And you're doing it in a way that is not exactly the best way to do that. Now, if you change your policy and distribute it to everyone before the event occurs, before this person asks for it, then you're in much better shape. Isn't
exactly.
That right?
Okay. Exactly. And you want to be sure that you don't have somebody else in the office kind of giving an indication or a verbal agreement to an amount of time that maybe you're not aware of. So
gotcha.
They should know who to talk to when they need to leave, and it should be a consistent message.
And there's a way to request the leave and all sorts of things. So let's talk about some of the nuts and bolts, some of the things, the details that need to be covered.
So don't be afraid of the process, and don't be afraid to have a process. You want to make sure that you make it clear with a lot of clarity, a lot of conversation and documentation with the employee. It's okay to talk to your employees about these issues. Don't be afraid of them, and don't be afraid of the issue. You want to first off know the number of weeks that you're going to offer of unpaid leave to each employee.
And that's key. It's still unpaid leave. Although I want everyone who's listening here in late August of 2015 to hear my words. I believe that we're going to see some kind of paid maternity leave within the next 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
That's what I believe is going to happen. We're already seeing it in several states. We're already seeing it across several different states where people are trying to enact.
In Ohio, it's been gone back and forth about the details of it. California has a very strong set out maternity leave. A lot of the other states, it's a little more ambiguous still at this point. Right. But yeah, I think you're right. It's going
to
come.
But for the most part, everybody gets to set the number of weeks because it's not FMLA, which predetermines that based on a statute and laws. So, Michelle, in your experience, what are most practices doing?
It really depends on the size, and this is very generally speaking, but, you know, if they're under 10, a lot of times you'll see 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. If they're over 10, many times you'll see 8 weeks.
Okay.
And that's a fairly reasonable amount of time. A lot of the doctors have expressed that when it's their key employees, their key staff, and all of them are key staff, and that they will go ahead and make the effort to let them get out of work and take care of what they need to take care of, and they're going to hire a temp during that time to cover for them.
So it's all covered. Everything's done. There's not going to be a giant hole when this person takes off for 6 weeks.
Exactly.
A couple of points I want to make. Most employees want to come back even sooner than 6 weeks. No, not most. Many, because it's unpaid, and not a lot of people can go without pay. So there's that side of the equation as well.
Right. And when somebody wants to go out, you know, you want to discuss the number of weeks that you're able to let them be out of the office to take care of their personal issue that they have. Mm-hmm. And then for your own knowledge as a doctor with an office, you want to know your state law. So you want to be aware, can you require them to use all of their sick and vacation bank concurrently with their leave? Many states you can.
Most you can, but not all states. And by the way, this works often in the employee's favor too, because they know that they're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
They probably know they were planning on getting pregnant, although not always. And so they'll bank that time so that during that 6 weeks, they get a week or two or two and a half or 3 weeks or however long they're able to build up according to your vacation policies.
Yeah. And it's really beneficial for them because not all of the time is unpaid for them. And it's beneficial for you because when they come back, they don't have an additional 2 or 3 weeks sitting out there that they can still take that year.
Right. And can't we do all of this in a couple of paragraphs? Can't we describe all of this in detail in just a couple of paragraphs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I always suggest that everybody does a leave letter when somebody is going out on leave. It just provides a lot of clarity.
It's, recaps.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's if their benefits are going to be paid during that time or not. It's how long the leave's going to be, when they're expected to return. It's just keeping the lines of communication open while they're gone.
Okay, good. And what if this happens, what if leading up to the expected time, because that's what you say, is you know, please give me an estimate of when you think you're going to leave. Now, they may have to leave sooner for a variety of reasons, or they may need what we call intermittent leave, meaning that they plan on leaving in the end of September, but a few complications come up in August and leading up to that, and they have to take time away, 2 or 3 days bed rest in order to get something back under control or something like that. Does that count towards their leave of absence?
You know, it's going to depend upon how you work your policy. Mm-hmm. Most smaller organizations, small offices, don't have that written in to do the intermittent, mm-hmm. but you could certainly do that. But you would want to have that in the letter too, letting them know that that week of time that they're taking is going to count towards their 6 weeks total.
And again, all of this is completely protects you because you're treating everybody consistently, and it is the way to head off a problem with someone is to tell them what to expect.
Right.
And so that they can see it right there in black and white, and that's what they know. Now, I have to tell you, and I bet you've gotten this call a few times here, because it happens, someone will get pregnant, they'll go online, and they'll research, and they'll see the FMLA. Mm-hmm. And they'll come back into the office, and they'll say, I get 12 weeks off, and you got to do this, and this, and this, and this. Mm-hmm. And they're very like, you know, this is what I'm entitled to. Mm-hmm. And then you have to break the news to them and say, well, the FMLA doesn't apply, but this is what we do. But if you don't have a policy in place, how do you answer that? It's very difficult, don't you think?
Yeah, it's much more difficult without a policy. Yeah. And then it brings into question, is that really what you do? And uh-huh. is this really what I'm entitled to? Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something to be said for having an open door policy and clear expectations set for everybody so they know that it's an even playing field.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Most states don't require any kind of maternity leave.
No.
So if you're a small employer under 50, they don't make you do it. And so a lot of the advice that I find that our you know new members have gotten before is, well, you don't have to have it, so it doesn't have to be in there. Mm-hmm. And I think that you know it comes out of those templated, out of your payroll company, one size fits all thing, and they just don't want to help you deal with it. So they're like, they just leave you out there with no policy at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's always good to have a starting point. Uh-huh. And, you know, we often talk to our members about you can't predict every situation and the nuances to each one.
Yep.
But if you have a good, solid, basic policy in place, you can work off of that really yeah. easily.
So I want to give you a scenario because we're moving on to what to do while they're on leave. Mm-hmm. And Michelle has no idea this is coming. So I'm going to just totally, it's called, we're going to play Stump the Michelle.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a policy that says that I give 6 weeks off. In my policy, I've had experts like Cedar build it for me. And it also says that if while I'm off, at the end of that leave, for medical reasons, I need to extend my leave of absence for pregnancy, I can extend that leave of absence with a note from my physician. And this is a really good thing to have now, because once you have the first policy in place, this next rule starts to kick in a lot of states. They're saying, look, if they ask for an extension, a reasonable extension, you have to grant it to them. And so, Michelle, I'm out. Of course, it's a big deal. It's in the news because I'm pregnant. And, of mm-hmm. course, you know, I'm the first guy to get pregnant. I've been out for 6 weeks mm-hmm. since I'm the first guy to get pregnant. Now I've had some medical complications. Let's just say I'm really tired.
Okay.
I've got an extension for 3 weeks, and now I've come back after 9 weeks of being off, and I've said I need more time off.
Okay.
What does my boss do?
Well, then you're going to start a conversation about returning them to work and any necessary accommodations that they may require.
Uh-huh.
Fitness for duty may come into play where
yep.
you would send something out. Their physician would fill it out.
Uh-huh.
And there is always the aspect, too, if you feel like their physician maybe is not giving you the best information or correct information,
uh-huh.
you can ask to have a physician of your choosing
certify whether or not there should be another extension.
Exactly. Now you're going to pay for that visit,
yeah.
but
right.
yes, you could do that. It doesn't usually come to that.
Right.
But you want to start that interactive process with that employee in earnest to see if you can get them back or not. And it could be that you can't get them back and it's going to be time to separate ways, but you're going to be able to show that you took every step and you fully vetted the process before parting ways.
And the fact that you had a policy, you followed your policy, you had an extension policy, you followed your extension policy. Now you're saying, look, it's 9 weeks. we have five people here, and you're the billing person, and you're missing, and it's causing these issues. Now you can begin to show that it's having an adverse effect on your practice.
Exactly.
And you can begin to consider whether or not it's separation or going forward. You always want to get help with that, but I want to ask that question because we see it happen. What if I go on leave and I won't tell you when I'm coming back?
You would have to provide documentation. I mean, that's part of the employment relationship, is that you have to be willing to communicate and let us know when you're coming back. You can't just disappear. So we would start writing some letters and giving deadlines.
Right.
And I like to call it kind of a funnel, right? You limit their choices as we're going through the process.
Right.
And if they don't meet those limits, those benchmarks, those hurdles, then you take the next step.
Right.
And all that way you can show that you've been reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been working through a process. You didn't just drop a hammer.
Right. And you're not reacting to, well, my husband and I still aren't sure whether or not I'm going back to work. We're still trying to fill this out. And you're like, but I need an answer. I need to know. So one of the things we do is we tell them, we have a date where we expect to hear from you. Mm-hmm. We touch in with them around that date and say, hey, how's it looking for you returning to work next Thursday?
Right.
It's the end of your six-week leave.
Exactly. Yeah. And if they say, well, then I'm not planning to come back. That's okay. And it's a chance for you to, you know, move on from there. Would you have liked maybe more notice? Sure. Yes. Sure. But at least you're not hanging in limbo with them out there. The only other thing I'd like to add to that is we do in all of our policies, write the 30-day extension that is at the practice's discretion with a doctor's note. So if you have somebody out on maternity leave and they've taken the full 6 weeks and now they call and they say, well, I know there's a 30-day extension and I don't have a medical reason, but I just want to stay home and bond longer.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's a lot of merit to that.
Yeah.
However, I would caution you, doctor, that you're going to have them return unless there's a medically necessary reason. Otherwise, you've set that precedent again.
And now everybody gets the 30 days of bonding. And this isn't about you being a bad person for not wanting to have the bonding there.
Right.
And personally, if you can figure out a way to accommodate it, I would do it. Nonetheless, small business, people are fitting in. It's very hard to replace people. It's very hard to get temporary help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those factors are coming in there. And like Michelle said, you kind of have to draw the line for everybody.
Yeah. So I'd like to talk about that. So you want to keep in mind that, you know, you're sending documentation the whole way along. And it is okay to talk to your employee while they're out on leave to check in with them. You don't want to call them and be asking them work-related questions.
Right.
You don't want to be, you know, in essence, making them work during their leave in any way. But it is okay to call and say, hey, how are you? How's everything going? We miss you. Looking forward to having you back.
Have your office manager make that call.
Yeah. The office manager, the doctor themselves, whoever is comfortable making it. They're not untouchable. And in fact, you don't want to kind of leave them hanging out there feeling like they're no longer a part of your group. You want them to know they're still in your fold.
Wow, that's a really good point. By maintaining just, you know, reasonable contact with them, you're also keeping them as a part of the team. Would it be okay to update them a little bit? Just kind of, you know, just want to let you know what's going on around here. We've got the new operatory finished. Everything's going good. The girl that's replaced you for now is awful. We can't wait to get you back.
We can't wait for you to come back. Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
You know, and as long as it's all very in a reassuring manner.
Right, right.
Not making them feel guilty for being out, not making them feel insecure. Oh, we love the new girl and we don't miss you at all. Yeah.
We're fine.
Probably don't want to say that.
Okay. One other scenario before we wrap this up. Get it a lot. Well, I'll just be blunt about it.
Okay.
Have this person who's given, just come in and let me know that she's pregnant and she's going to need to take maternity leave. I was thinking about getting rid of her anyway. And there's a whole nother conversation about that, which is why had you been thinking that? What had you done leading up to it? And where? What kind of a different situation could you be in? But then the next thing is well, I just want to let her go. Or you suck it up and you wait and they go on leave and then we get the call and the doctor says, well, I don't want to bring her back because the girl that replaced her, oh my goodness, this employee is the best. She sees more patients.
Mm-hmm.
She glides around the practice. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even, her feet don't even hit the floor. There's birds and bees flying around in here now and everybody's so happy. And what I realize is this person's that's on maternity leave is really kind of toxic and I don't want to bring her back.
This is not the time to end her employment.
Right.
You know, does that mean that somebody who's pregnant is untouchable during their employment? No. But this is a time to be very cautious mm-hmm. about any employment decisions and specifically terminating their employment.
Right.
Yeah.
So you want to bring them back, and then you want to begin the process very gently because they're still in a protected class. Now, when right. they come back, many states provide very specific protections in those weeks after coming back from maternity leave, but you begin to address the issues.
Correct.
Yeah. So you've got to do what you didn't do before, which is say to this person, I have a problem. We right. have a problem. This is the issue. And, the, and right. then go into that conversation right. with them.
And then you also want to keep in mind, this is backtracking a little bit, you know, because I've had some doctors say, well, but what if she just wants to go right back out on leave again?
Uh-huh.
Well, you want to have in your policy that you can only take one leave in a 12-month period.
There's a cap.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when this person comes back that maybe was a low performer and you're worried about they're going to come back and then when you start to discipline them mm-hmm. and work with them, they're going to want to go out on another leave. You've mm-hmm. you've ended that option.
Yeah, they'll find another way if you're not careful. They'll find a way to manipulate the situation. Yeah. And so that also highlights that your policy is not exactly right if it says you can use up to 6 weeks of time, unpaid time away for the purposes of things like maternity leave. The policy is not complete unless it says during a 12-month period or during the mm-hmm. year. And
a rolling 12-month period, so yeah. they can't go immediately out on another leave. And that also helps, you know, it's not always pregnancy that causes a person to be out. It could be cancer treatment. It could be
all sorts of things,
right? Yeah. And so not to be unkind or cruel to uh-huh. anybody with a medical condition, but if you've already given them 6 weeks that year or more, because uh-huh. you have the 30-day clause in there, you need them to be able to come back or just really be separated and go be able to concentrate on their health while you keep the practice
yeah,
running.
Yeah, the meaning of what is or what can qualify for a disability has been greatly expanded over the last 3 or 4 years. And
enormously. Basically yeah. everything.
Pretty much everything.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
So.
Okay, well, Michelle, this has been very informative. I've learned a couple things today that I didn't realize I didn't know. I really want to appreciate you for bringing this to everybody's attention and for picking this subject. Leave of absence, how do you manage it? What do you need to do? Hopefully, Doctor, you got some insight, some help here. If you have any questions, as we said, Michelle's part of a team. We answer these questions and solve these problems all the time. Of course, it all starts with good policies, and then from there, there's the problem solving, and that's what we do. So if we can be of service to you, please get in touch. Meanwhile, thanks for listening to the podcast. I hope you listen to some of the other podcasts that we have posted. Michelle, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day, Doc.
This podcast was sponsored by Time Clocket, a powerful cloud-based time management and payroll system for your employees. Visit timeclocket.com.